Did the COVID pandemic change your world? Well, from an international trade perspective, it certainly did. Global supply chains were severely disrupted, you'll remember. People's behaviour with lockdowns and therefore demand changed, with a bigger move to online buying, for example. International tariffs were placed on certain products and there was a rise in protectionism. For that crazy time, there was a shift in the way we lived. Some of these factors have remained since the pandemic, and as part of its updated emerging market strategy, Australian Wool Innovation has identified several countries whose textile industries benefit from these changing dynamics and have the potential to increase their processing or manufacturing of wool. Bangladesh, Cambodia, Portugal, Mexico, Peru, and parts of Africa have all been identified, but one country has already become more of a hub for wool manufacturing, Vietnam. Welcome to The Yarn. It's a podcast for the wool industry. I'm Marius Cumming. Vietnam is a booming tiger economy and well known for its garment manufacturing, particularly with cotton. But in 2012, the Outer Vietnam project started at AWI. Its aim was to develop new manufacturing supply chains for woolen products. And now, more than 80 partnerships with spinners, weavers, knitters, and whole garment manufacturers have been established. Trudy Friedrich is the Manager of Emerging Markets for AWI Woolmark and says since she first came onto the project, wool in Vietnam has come a long way.
At that time, it was more around knitting and flatbed knitting. And, you know, what we've seen in the years since is a growth in, there's now yarn spinning there. There's also circular knitting has become quite popular in Vietnam. And there was always a weaver there as well. So it's sort of grown from knitting only and garment making and taken on dyeing, spinning, weaving and circular knitting as well.
So the backdrop to this, of course, is that we all know that Australia is so reliant on China. There's not just an early stage processor, not just a processor of finished garments, but also of demand. A huge amount of demand for Australian wool globally comes from China. So we're very dependent on China, but in the background there are these other emerging markets and hence your role. Vietnam as an emerging market, tell us a bit about how it's evolved since you started going there.
Yeah, basically gone from zero 12 years ago to about 85 now, and now we're sort of also seeing the opportunities to offer an alternative wool production supply chain. So recently, we took over 5 trading houses from Japan and took them to see the wool supply chain there. So we went to about 9 suppliers. And, you know, it's about opening up those relationships so they have an opportunity to source from elsewhere.
And why would they be interested in processing wool when they've been so used to cotton for so long? I mean, what value add does wool bring to them?
Yeah, I think it's about, you know, having the opportunity to work with better retailers and better brands and producing a high-end garment. So the output's about the same, but the return on investment is higher than you'd get for a cotton garment.
So has your role been to introduce brands that are looking for a new supply chain with those that can actually deliver that product?
Is that
absolutely. So you've been an introductory agency almost?
Yes, yeah, that's what we, and that's what we're trying to promote now amongst our our overseas network, so our overseas offices, to sort of tell them, like, you know, there is another whole other supply chain here. They do know about it, but since COVID and supply chains have changed so much and everybody's looking for alternatives to China as well as nearshoring and onshoring, and this, you know, Vietnam is an excellent opportunity for that.
What's nearshoring and onshoring? What are they?
So nearshoring is where you, and onshoring, it's basically where you bring your production, your supply chain closer to where you are so that you can eliminate risk. And a big thing that came out of COVID was supply chains were too long, or they were finding lead times were huge, and so production risks were higher. So that's sort of been a a reason why people, or sorry, why brands and retailers have done that.
You've developed some very significant partnerships. What for the future, Trudy? I mean, you've probably been over to Vietnam quite a few times now, and so you must be developing some interesting relationships over there.
Yeah, definitely. And what we're seeing is, you know, like I mentioned before, the growth of circular knitters. So circular knit, we had about 4 partners there 2 or 3 years ago, and now we've got 10 partners, and we've also got a lot of circular knitters that aren't using wool that are interested in using wool, and we're doing technical transfer to help them start producing wool.
Is it an easy transfer? I mean, it's not just a case of one day using cotton and next you bring in super
no,
fine wool.
No, it's a lot of trial and error. So it's, you know, sending over someone from our technical team. So we just recently had Brenda there from Hong Kong office, and she went and spent time with circular knitter. It's originally from Taiwan that has moved their production there, and helped them do their first sort of trials with circular knitting wool.
Interesting. And yeah. Tell us a bit about Vietnam as a country itself. We don't hear much about it, but the Prime Minister was there earlier this year. Mm. It is one of the tiger economies of Asia. It's growing very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about what it's like to be there and wool's future there.
It's a really exciting place, I'd say. Like, I love going there. The people are really great. They have a good sense of humour. But they're really hardworking and very industrious. And there's a lot of opportunity there. It's sort of, you can feel it. And when you speak to people there, you know, there has been, speaking to suppliers when we went recently, they've all had about 30% decrease in orders for the next 3 or 4 months. But they're also very positive that things will turn over. And, you know, that's part of their culture. They're not doom and gloom. They're looking forward and looking to the future. The future of wool there, we're seeing a lot of... So Sudvola, the yarn supplier from Germany, they opened Dialat Worsted Spinning there about 3 years ago. And now they're opening a dye house, so that's happening next year. There's also a quite large Chinese yarn spinner that's moving into Vietnam. So I think... And a wool spinner. So I think they're... If these big companies are also seeing the prospects in wool in Vietnam, then wool has a really good future there.
That's really interesting that these big companies are moving to Vietnam. But
yeah.
I wouldn't have thought Vietnam was necessarily the low-cost manufacturer that they're looking for. So, but what is it?
I think it's their highly skilled workforce, and also proximity in Southeast Asia. So... You know, they can feed yarn into Cambodia or Thailand. And they also obviously see that Southeast Asia as a whole is like going to be, it's a growing textile market. That's where a lot of our textiles are going to come from.
Just in terms of your own career, what a great opportunity. It sounds like you really enjoyed the opportunity to go to Vietnam and really carve out and assist in a really important area for wool, and that sounds like there's a pretty good future there.
It's so exciting. I'm so grateful to be able to work in these markets and, you know, be a part of the future of wool and future proofing our supply chain, and, you know, other countries as well that are sort of coming, like Bangladesh and Cambodia as well, getting the opportunity to work in those markets and have a totally different experience to what I would have had in Vietnam or all Australia, of course.
And once these processes and brands have moved to wool, what are the people that you've spoken with in Vietnam, what's been their experience with wool, given that they've transferred to wool? Do they say, oh, right, I didn't realise it was so flexible, or it's harder to work with than I thought, or has it been an easy transition for some of these processes from cotton to wool?
I wouldn't say it's easy. I think a lot of them, you know, it comes down to price a lot of the time. So they're a bit worried about the price. And that's what we try to do, these supplier tours, where we take brands over or take retailers so we can, you know, introduce them to potential customers. so that, you know, they are making these beautiful wool products and they have a chance to sell it as well.
Oh, I see. So you're lifting it up. I mean, wool is obviously naturally sort of 3, 4, 5 times the price of cotton. Yes. So they're dealing with a raw material that's a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And therefore they have to sell it for a higher price,
yep,
which would be a big barrier for entry for them. But so Woolmark and yourself, I suppose, help with that transition,
yep,
to producing a more a high value garment.
Yeah, basically.
And do they see it as a high? Do they see it as a high value garment?
Absolutely.
Or do they say this,
yeah,
isn't like cotton?
No, they love it. They do love it. And once they get used to how they work with it and how, you know, and how it works, then they do really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they see the benefits in it.
Even, yeah, in a very humid sort of environment that I presume is,
yeah,
in Vietnam. So.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, they're not, I mean, in as Vietnam as a consumer market is very early stage.
Mm.
There's only a few brands there that use wool and 100% wool as well. And we are working with those brands, and the consumer market will grow eventually, and it is growing, but yeah, it's quite small at the moment.
That breathability story, I suppose, is important.
Yes,
but
that's our biggest barrier too in some regards, because you're in a hot climate,
mm,
and you're trying to sell something that people think of as a hot,
mm,
as a warm.
You're a breaker.
Yeah.
Break that through.
Yeah.
Well, Trudy, thank you very much for the work that you've done in Vietnam. It's really interesting to hear, and all the best for the future. It's been an amazing journey so far, and we look forward to hearing more about it.
Great. Thanks, Marius. Thanks for having me.
Trudy Friedrich is the Manager of Emerging Markets for AWI Woolmark, and you can read a lot more about Vietnam and all emerging markets via a search at wool.com. And there have been plenty on this subject in Beyond the Bale magazines over the years, and you can see and search all editions of the magazine online. So it's nice to hear about developments in Vietnam, but of course, if you have a subject you would like followed up, you can get in touch at theyarn@wool.com. But for now, from me, Marius Cumming, thanks for having a yarn with us.